All right, thank you, Ryan. Thank you for the song. So I just want to welcome everyone this morning. Greet all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is worthy to receive all honor and glory. And welcome everyone that is here, Sam and Lydia, you as well. I know some of our home people aren't here, but just thankful for everyone who is here this morning. This morning, I plan to share a lot out of Matthew 25, but I'd like to open with a few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, first six verses I'd like to read. So starting in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that is what I'd like to base my message on this morning, is God rewards us for diligently seeking him. And I guess most of all it applies to myself. Am I diligent in seeking God? And some of us have been born again for many years, some more than others, but it's still important that we seek him or pursue after him. So just a few thoughts on this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We expect heaven. It's not a wishful thinking, that hope. It's something that we expect. We're looking forward to, and faith makes that possible. And it's the evidence of things not seen. You know, typically evidence is something that you have it, you can see it, it proves that it's true or a fact. And faith does that for us. No, we haven't seen heaven, but with faith we can believe it, and we know that these exist. To me was just a blessing to think of that as even though we haven't seen it, we know it exists. And looking at the definition of diligent, is characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort, or taking painstaking. So that was just the definition of diligently seeking him, is are we steadily, earnestly, and energetically seeking Christ and in God's will. I'll read out of Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. I'll start reading in verse 1. And it's a familiar chapter. There's several stories in here that I am sure we all are familiar with. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. So looking at that story, what are some things that we can take out of this story? So we're all invited to a wedding feast, what we know as Christ returning to bring his church home, and eternity or heaven, however we want to think about it. But we know that it's referred to as a wedding coming up. So I had to think of, you know, nowadays when we get an invitation to go to a wedding, there's a card there most of the time to fill out the RSVP. And I had to ask myself, have we filled out that form and sent it in? And yes, we'll be there. Or have we pushed it aside, or have we rejected the invitation? The marriages here on earth are sometimes, we can't be at two places at the same time. Sometimes we have to decline the invitation, but the invitation to be at heaven, to make it to heaven, is one that we can't turn down. So we have an invitation to be at the wedding, and we all have lamps. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, I'd like to read those verses here. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're called to shine our lights, to be a witness. And it's not to bring honor and glory to ourselves, but as it says there, that people see our good works and glorify God the Father. And so what are we doing to keep our lamps lit? I think one of the most important things to do is reading God's word, and also prayer. The two go hand in hand. Are we surrounding ourselves with good company? Are we obeying God's commandments? John 14:15 says, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And another thing we can take out of this story is we're all responsible for ourselves. Yes, we can be here for each other. We can encourage each other. Be what it may. We can help each other to go through the Christian life. But still, at the end, it's up to me and my decision. I am responsible for my soul, and you are responsible for your soul. As we see here, five of these ladies didn't have oil, and five took extra long. And when the time came to it, the ones who didn't take extra oil weren't able to be there. So we are responsible for ourselves. And I know things happen in our life that sometimes it seems maybe we can blame other people for what happened in our past. And yes, that might make it difficult, but it's up to us to how do we respond, how do we answer to Christ. And another thing we can take out of this is if we are lost when Christ returns, No matter how diligent we are, we won't be able to make it. It will be too late then. And I had to think of the, Noah's flood, when Noah was building this ark, and here all the people were around, but nobody else went into the ark. When the door was closed, then it was too late. And just an interesting fact that, or some thoughts here about the flood, thinking of how that would have been. What I can read, the flood was, I think it says 15 cubits, which I believe would be 22 feet above the highest mountain. And the highest mountain today is 29,032 feet, which is Mount Everest, which in 40 days of raining, it would be 726 inches per day, or 30 inches per hour, or just a little bit over a half inch per minute. So if you think of that, a half inch per minute, I don't think anyone could have even been outside and endured the rain for a long period of time. And these people realized it was too late, that Noah knew what he was talking about when he said there's a flood coming. And the last point here out of the story is, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." So we're called to watch, just to be ready. Are we ready? Are we staying faithful? I'd like to continue on in the chapter here. It talks about the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So here he gives each one of his servants some of his goods, some more than others, but it says according to their ability. And that applies to us today. We have responsibilities. Maybe we have gifts in something that we excel at something better than maybe some other people. Doesn't make us better, but we're called to use that for God's kingdom. So how are we using that? Are we being diligent using what God has given us? So it says here, after a long time, we don't know how long it was, but we know it was a long time. So the master came back and he reckoned with the servants. And the one that had received 5 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." So he had doubled the value of the Lord's goods. The Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the one that had 2 talents, he came and said, "Lord, the 2 talents that you gave me, I have gained 2 more. So he doubled his as well. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And I think we know what the last ruler or the last servant said. He said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strewn. I was afraid and went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine." And the Lord called him a wicked and slothful servant. And he ended up being thrown into outer darkness. And I trust that's not what we're doing with our talents today. Maybe we only have 1, but it's important that we use it to the kingdom of God, or to the glory and honor of God. So are we being diligent with what we have been given? Are we putting effort into it? Are we just continuously, steadily, earnestly staying faithful? And then also, there's another story in the same chapter that I'd like to share on as well. It says, when the Son of Man shall come, in verse 31 of chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And in reading this, excuse me. Why did the righteous say or ask the question, when did we do this? I think it was such a part of their life, being living for God, that they didn't even really think about it. They had received mercy. They were servants of God, and this was just a part of their life. But on the contrast, when the king shall answer. Actually, before I talk about the other, it says here, the king said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So what we do to, what we would say, the least of Christians, that's what we do to God. Then the ones on the left hand, he said, Depart from me, ye cursed, and into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And it gives the same reasons here. I was hungry, but this time, he says, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visit me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto them, unto thee? Then shall he answer unto him, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. And I believe the difference here is the unrighteous, they weren't even looking for opportunity to help someone. They were busy doing their own thing. They were, Jesus said, if we give a disciple or a child of God a glass of cold water in the name of Jesus, we won't lose our reward. So are we doing small things? Even the smallest of things matter. But here they didn't even, it appears they didn't even look for opportunities. So are we diligent in seeking God? There's a verse in, I believe it's Matthew 5, it says, Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking the kingdom of God? Is that our first priority? There's a verse in Proverbs that says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of the heart. So it's important that we we give attention to what's going on in our heart, and just to keep our heart and keep it pure. So just to go over, kind of recap the scripture here, or the lesson that we receive out of this chapter. First of all, in Hebrews it says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And when I read that, that just stuck with me for, it's been a while now that I read that, but I just, it's been a good reminder for me to, am I diligently seeking God? So let's make sure that we are ready. Let's keep our lamps lit. We are the light of the world. Let's take responsibility for ourselves. Let's be watchful. And let's be diligent with what God has entrusted to us as the servants who were given the Lord's goods, and then he left for a long time. And we can take that as a reference to us. We have been entrusted with the Lord's goods to spread the gospel, to be workers in His kingdom. When we have opportunity, let's do good to people as unto Christ. And let's do all of this diligently. There's a story in Luke as well of the lost sheep. The shepherd leaves, if he has 100 sheep and one is lost, he goes and looks for the one that is lost. He leaves the 99. And so we see that Christ, he looks for us. He wants us to be in the fold. And it says there that there's more rejoicing in one that is lost that gets saved than 99 that don't need to be saved, that are already saved. So it's a great gain to accept Christ and to be a part of His, I guess we could say, flock. And also the lost coin, it says how if the one woman had 10 coins and she lost one, and she searched for it, and she finally found it, and then she had a celebration for that. And it's the same thing. So we see here that Christ is seeking after us. He's watching over us as well. So we should be diligent as well into following Him. So that is my message for this morning. I do want to say thank you to all of you who have been praying for me. I have felt it and been blessed with that. And just want to bless you all this coming week. And yeah, this message most of all applies to myself. Seems always when I study for a message, I end up studying what I need the most. So hopefully you can gain something from it too as well, help you out this next week. But yeah, I'll turn the time over to you, Ryan.